More of your calls are coming up. Thanks very much to everybody who liked us on the Coast to Coast AM Facebook page. And you know what? Thank you very much for whomever set up the little fan page for me and all the people who put a like thing on there, you know, made little comments. It's very, very nice. And little exchanges going on between people. It's quite fun, really. All right. More of your calls. As long as it's weird, we'll entertain it. Have you seen a UFO? Have you met a reptilian? Have you been grabbed in the middle of the night? No, no. Supernaturally. Just tell us what's on your mind. It is the Friday night edition. John Wells in for Captain George Norrie, and we shall return with all y'all's calls. This is the one and only Coast to Coast AM. Stand by. John B. Wells in for Mr. George Norrie tonight on what I like to call a euphonic Friday, where we hear from you, from Eugene to the Yukon. You've heard it before. So why labor? It's interesting. There's not much telling which commercials you're hearing. There are network commercials that everybody hears, and then there are your local affiliate commercials. But I like the movie trailer stuff. You notice the trend? It's sort of a starts Friday. You kind of got to put that at the end of it. And somebody from over on the other side of the ship says, yeah, the movie trailer guy's at dinner with his wife and says, no more rice, please, dear. It's too binding. Anyway. Oh, well, what reading is this? Let's talk to Robert in Memphis. Good barbecue, good music, good times. It's all happening in Memphis. Robert, are you there? First time.
Hey, call. John, how are you this evening?
Doing all right. How are you, sir?
Thank you for the good times on the radio. I've been listening Coast to Coast for quite some time. But I want to get your feelings or your thoughts on this. John, I've been listening to the radio and also listening to television. I'm a blind person, but I've been hearing in the number 13 for quite some time, and I hear it several times a day. Now, someone told me that that's actually a warning number or a warning sign for me. Well, some things have happened to me here of late, and I attribute it to the number 13. For instance, recently my wife's mom passed away, and yes, about 2 months ago, I started throwing up blood. I called 911 on myself, and by the time I got to the emergency room, I was what they call septic. My whole body was taken over by some kind of infection. My kidneys shut down, my liver shut down,
oh dear,
and I stopped breathing there in the emergency room, and they had to put me on a respirator. I was on a respirator for about a month. When I came to, I now have a trach tube in my throat. After I came to, my lung collapsed twice, and I had chest tubes. I was in the ICU for quite some time.
That's quite an ordeal, Robert.
What's that?
I say that's quite an ordeal, man.
It's been hell. Since then, I've thrown up blood a couple more times, and some other bad things have happened. So what are your ideas in conjunction with that number? I don't even like to say it, though.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. 13, actually, 13 has been a recurring number in my life. It really has. I mean, first of all, I was born on Friday the 13th. You know, I can take it all the way to my middle initial is a B, and, you know, you can make a 13 out of the B. And I heard a long time ago that it is both a good number and a number that has somewhat sinister connotations. In my own personal experience, it has always signified a change. Now, I'm just looking at some data here, and this particular piece of data indicates that the number 13 brings the test, the suffering, and the death. It symbolizes the death to the matter or to oneself, and the birth to the spirit, the passage on a higher level of existence. Now, that's a hell of a thing to be told when you're struggling with health problems that you've dealt with. However, the upside of this is that you are still very much alive. and still very much attuned to what might suggest to you what's waiting ahead. So all I can tell you by way of anything beyond what I'm about to say and have already said is just going to be, well, just rubbish. But in my experience, 13 has always meant change. Now, if you combine the one and the three, four is also an element which makes a pass from one cycle to another with what this change implies of anxieties by the arrival of a new unknown cycle. So in the end, it looks to me like the number 13 denotes change. And since your crystal ball is probably in the shop where mine is, and they just won't give me a delivery date, I think we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. But we naturally wish you all the best. And obviously, you're meant to hang around a while. So just do all you can, the best you can, for as long as you can. Let's talk to Will in Florida. And thank you, Robert, in Memphis. Will in Florida, way east of the Rockies, over there. By the Atlantic, maybe the Gulf. Are you on the Gulf side or the Atlantic side?
Atlantic side. It's about 50 miles north of Rush Bowl. north of West Palm Beach.
Oh, gotcha. Well, that's a pretty spot in the world.
If you had the opportunity to go for a ride on a UFO, would you take it?
Yep.
All right. You know, in the Bible.
In fact, I think I already did, pal.
Well, you can go again. In the Bible, God says there are other deities, but it didn't necessarily look like us.
Well, that's right.
We can call these other deities. We could call a flying saucer into the desert by using light, but it has to be in a particular design.
You know, it seems to me that, do you think that there's an agenda there that's being gradually, first of all, between the movies doing, exposing us to, these magnificent special effects that they do now. They're just absolutely off the charts, excellent with that stuff. It's so realistic. And some of the script writing is so good, you just get just sucked into it and you really can live it for a few moments. You know it's a movie, but you're still into it deeply. Do you think that that we're being gradually accustomed to having these guys around? Do you think we're being readied for the actual physical appearance where it's like, wow, we can walk up and touch the ship and there's the guy walking down the ramp, you know? Do you think they're getting us ready for this?
I think they're observing us and watching what's going on. I'd rather call them flying saucers instead of UFOs.
Yeah, it's got a nice cachet.
I believe that. I forgot my train of thought. Just a moment.
Oh, bro, that's just murder on the radio, pal.
I know. It is. I've tried to call you and George so many times. It was 1600. Dial tone. I finally got through on the 1600. I think that has something to do with Washington, D.C.
Well, my reptilian side's about to come out. I'm about to say, you have 3 seconds to regain your thoughts or you will be deleted. Time's up. I love you, bro. Over and out. I love you, man. Wildcard Lion, Wayne in Santa Monica, California, down there by the pier, I hope.
Good evening, John. How are you?
No, I'm doing the best I can. How are you doing?
Well, I'm up and I'm listening to you, and now I can scratch you off my bucket list.
Okay.
No, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. I have a list of those people who I feel have made an impact on all of us, and you're close to the top.
Oh, well, man, that's very kind of you to say that.
Well, aside from that, John, and please let me get through this.
All right.
Even though I'm a former Marine, you're always a Marine. And I'm also a former federal agent. And having said that, and I'm saying this for all those people who are still active out there, whether you're in the military or law enforcement, whatever job you're doing, if you took the oath that I have done twice in my life, that is to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Think about that oath, and think about those who are currently violating it. And if you took the oath and you are sincere in that and in your duties, when that ugly day, and hope to God it never happens, raises its ugly little head, and you have to take a side, remember what the oath means. It's for the Constitution. It's for this nation. It's for this country. It's for all of those who have passed on in defense of that Constitution and this nation. And pretty
that's very well put and very appropriate for Memorial Weekend.
Well, yep. That's the mode I'm in. And I do have UFO stories, and I'm an avid UFO kind of researcher, and I've made friends with Richard Dolan, who I'm sure you know. And
yeah, let me ask you something about your service. You were in the Marine Corps. Were you in the Vietnam conflict, or more recent than that?
Vietnam.
Understood. Understood and very much appreciated.
Well, it's very important. We're going through some trying times, and things are changing, and everybody has a viewpoint.
Yes, they do, and the efforts are being made to keep us divided on virtually every level. We understand.
Well, everybody should remain alert, like a lot of people and guests on your show, and as well as you have said, remain diligent. Take names, put the names to faces. Let's stay above those that are trying to tear it apart.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll get through this.
I have no doubt that we will. Thank you very much for your call, and I'll wish you happy Veterans Day the next time it comes around. I'm delighted you're not part of the memorial. As we continue on with our open lines, our Euphonic Friday. All right, I'm ready for another. Are you? And thank you very much, Wayne. Wildcard line, Dan in Iowa. Are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Wells. It's an honor to talk to you.
Well, it goes both ways. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I also, as the last caller, I'm a retired military. I was in the Green Berets and in Vietnam. So it's a good segue into what I want to talk about. I got a comment first and then a question. When I engage in political conversations with people, the first thing I ask them is, did you vote? If they did, I will engage them. If they didn't, I walk away. They don't have a right to the conversation.
That's actually pretty good stuff.
Everybody needs to get involved, and the call to arms is to be ready when the day comes, because it will. My question is, our public servants, president, congressmen, senators, all swear an oath to the Constitution to defend it and uphold it. And I'm wondering, would the continuous assault on the Constitution, if when they turn their backs on it, this is not grounds for recall or impeachment, and if so, they're obviously not going to recall or impeach themselves if we can't get it done through the vote, is there an avenue that the average citizen can take to start those procedures?
Well, that's a very, very loaded question. You try to do everything the correct way. But as a prior guest on the program some months ago pointed out, what hope is there for a country whose population will not hold its leaders' feet to the fire when they deviate from the Constitution? I'm paraphrasing, but then it was deliberate. What do you do? And the thing, well, the procedure is do everything that you can through the media. That's slightly controlled. Well, expose that too. If you want to get somebody's attention, you know where you hit them? You hit them in their pocketbook. You hit them in their bank account. If you object to something, stop buying the product. But it ratchets up from there. And it goes all the way to the very foundation of the Constitution, which is if you get a government in there that runs all over this Constitution, you are duty bound to get them out of office and restore this Constitution, because if you let it go, you're well and truly screwed. I mean, that's just the long and short of it. Crude but effective. So That's my answer. I mean, I'm not issuing a call for revolution at this time. However, go ahead. I just assumed you started talking now before I say any more.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to cut in, but I think the problem is that people are scared and they don't know what to do. Everybody's getting hit economically. Would the new asset have been enacted with the Federal Defense Act? This is going to start affecting people in ways they never thought of. They need to take a look at 1939 Germany and take a look at how those folks went down the road as sheep to slaughter. And I see us going the same direction, and I can't figure out why people aren't sticking their heads up out of the sand and saying enough is enough, you know?
Because this stuff happens, brother, and that's just the plain truth of it. I mean, I keep going back to this Hitler thing. Now, everybody knows, well, Hitler was a bad guy. He was an evil guy. He was responsible for the deaths of millions of people. It's like, well, guess what? Everybody liked him over there. I mean, he didn't seize power, roll in with a bunch of tanks and guns and knives and all of that and just take over. He was elected by a ridiculously high margin. So no one likes to be told that they're wrong. No one likes to be told that they've been misled. Nobody likes to be told that they've been duped. Nobody likes to be told that the charismatic person that they like, whoever it is not playing by the rules that were set forth in that Constitution. And you're right. That right there, when you know the truth, but you want to cling to your ideal, that's fear-inducing, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that there's probably no resolution right at this point, but I just urge people to be aware of what's going on. And if you know somebody that is not so well-educated as the Coastal listeners are, please take a minute to educate them. I think the more that we talk to people, the more they pay attention, and maybe we'll get something done. So thank you for your input. I appreciate it. I feel much better now, and you have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You do the same, sir. Thank you for your service. Appreciate you very much. Don in Florida. Wait a minute, Don. Another person in Florida. The Floridians are awake at this hour. Excellent. Don, if you're there, come upon the bridge.
Hi, John. It's a pleasure to talk to you tonight.
Mutual,
yeah,
sir.
I'm awake because I work late nights, so here I am. I wanted to share something with you in Coast real quick, and then I want to ask you something real quick. If you type into your web browser Illuminati backwards, which is ITANIMULLI, you'll stumble upon something real interesting, you know, and I just want you to comment on that later if you feel the need to or not. And then I wanted to ask you about activism in my area, pretty much. I put a smart meter sign up. Well, not. I made a little sign that in my yard, and I drew a picture of like a smart meter, and I said, "Smart meter, big problem."
Yeah.
I didn't really get much of a response from anybody in my neighborhood. I talked to two people, and I was outside every day, you know, playing disc golf out in my front yard, and just like waiting for people to come up and talk to me about it or something, you know. And there's, you know, people wouldn't even slow down, and I live right on a busy little corner here.
We'll do this. I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to hold you over until after this break if you want to hold on, and we'll finish our chat. But the thing is, make some brochures and put it on your neighbor's doors. Do not put it in the mailbox. Don't put anything in a mailbox that doesn't have a stamp on it. Okay, we'll be back with some open lines, some more conversations with all of you, because that's who it's all about in the end, you. This is Coast to Coast AM. It's a mellow kind of a Saturday morning, Friday night, Memorial weekend. And thanks to everybody for your kind comments, your support of Coast to Coast AM over these many years, and just generally being the best listeners on this or any other planet. We'll come back here in just 2 minutes with the rest of your phone calls as we complete the hour over the first half of the Zombie Jombie weekend. Tomorrow night, we'll talk with Nick Redfern, British ufologist and cryptozoologist. Nick Redfern is author of many books on UFOs, cryptozoology, the paranormal, and conspiracy theories. Nick writes regularly for UFO magazine, Fate magazine, and others, and has uncovered thousands of pages of previously classified Royal Air Force, Air Ministry, and Ministry of Defense files on UFOs. So that's tomorrow night with a special guest, too. So plan to attend our little global living room meet on the bridge of the mothership that is Coast to Coast AM. We shall be back in 2 minutes. John B. in for George Norrie tonight on our Euphonic Friday with some open lines. No, I really want to talk to this fellow. First-time caller Vincent in Sedona. Is it true you're a reptilian?
But of course, because we can only tell the truth.
Okay. So lay some on me.
Okay, John B. Wells. First of all, this is going to be three parts because there's sacred geometry in threes. The first is that I'm a healer and your show is definitely a healing show.
Good.
There's a healing happening tonight by your words and by your guests. The second thing I'd like to say is I have recently realized that I am, this is a little bit strange, but not that strange, half reptilian, the other half Pleiadian, and the third part of me is the spirit of an angel. And thirdly, I saw a UFO last night, and I saw a Black Hawk helicopter being winged away, put aboard the ship, and brought back. It was witnessed by three other people with me, and I just had some experience with seeing UFOs with a certified ufologist. So those are
no kidding. I don't suppose anybody snapped any pictures of this, did they?
Well, they picked pictures of all the orbs, but they couldn't get the UFO was actually up in Jerome, and it was main, you could see it. I mean, it would change colors, and you could also see that it was actually a large ship with a center. And it glowed an awful lot, and it glowed for about an hour or so. And we watched it till from 7 until 10, and we saw it about coming out about 9 o'clock.
Wow.
And there were two Black Hawk helicopters that we hadn't seen before, and they were the large bomb, 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 bomb. And they came in a pair, and they started to play around the area of the UFOs. You know, they do that. They go up there, and then all of a sudden they went lights out, which they're not supposed to do. And then they came around, and they landed to refuel. Then one of them went back toward the UFO, and it got there a little bit close. The UFO started to brighten up, and we all felt that the helicopter was taunting it, and that it was saying, come any closer, and you're not going to be happy if you come closer. Not that they were malevolent, but they were just warning.
I don't know. If I was in a Black Hawk helicopter, even if it was like fully rigged with special stuff, I still might feel a little insecure taunting a UFO, you know?
Wouldn't you think so? Well, that's what these guys are saying. You guys, you know, don't taunt. And I'm just going to say this in view of whatever his name was, Vander or Victor, whatever his name is that I am psychic, and I am as a psychic and credible as he is as a palmist.
Well, let me ask you something, Vincent. I got to ask you something. Now, this is a question that's been dogging me for years. Is there some sort of a light or some sort of a filtered light that you can shine and maybe get some sort of a reptilian reflection so you can identify reptilians? Is that even possible?
Absolutely. I just saw myself this morning in the mirror. I'm so glad you asked because I hadn't actually seen myself before, but I did. I have a brother on the planet that I just recently met, and he was telling me about a woman that was working. You know, the U.S. has, I don't believe in conspiracy theories, but anyway, the government has crossbred some of us with them. And he was being traced by her or stalked by her through a couple days. And one night in an alley when he had actually helped her escape, which is part of my point of this. And she took off her glasses and said, thank you very much. And he saw the red eyes. So this morning when I got out of the show, I turned off the lights. And I looked in the mirror, as I usually do, so I can look at my third eye. And right. I got about, and I'll tell you this, dim the lights, have a little bit of the sunlight go through, and look in the mirror. And as you approach the mirror, about 6 inches away, you'll start to see what you think is your third eye as your two eyes come together. Well, this morning, when I decided to look deep, my eyes spread apart, and there was my reptilian face.
Unbelievable, dude. Well,
and listen. then it went, and there was a cat face.
Oh, well, Lord.
That's from Arcturus, but I'm not from Arcturus. I'm from the Pleiades. So anyway, that's what happened this morning, so you can see yourself.
Well, that's fantastic, Vincent. Thank you very much. And remember what E.T. said, be good. All right, I want to talk to Suzanne in Atlantic City, east of the Rockies by quite a long way. Suzanne, are you there?
Yes, John. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for... the wonderful guest today. I was very upbeat and happy to have heard someone so upbeat and positive and hopeful. I do listen all the time, and I listened to your show the last couple of weeks, and I really love you and love everybody that has things to say that are enlightening. But I'll tell you, it was just, as much as I love to hear the truth, I had to just kind of not listen too much with the last couple of weeks. It was such a, I said, no, I'm not into this gloom and doom. I'm
it was
really
like
not.
Bumming you out. It was bumming you out and making you unhappy. I don't like to make you unhappy.
I have such a positive feeling toward the future. And I just would like to thank our American veterans and really bring that to the forefront and for the sacrifices. Really, like, this show helps to hopefully snap people out of it and wake up. And
well, you know, the beautiful thing about it is you get it. You get it. You're a positive thinker, and you go, oh, you know, I'm not going to, like, immerse myself in that. But so many people don't know what's going on out there. Yeah. And they listen to Coast so they can find out what's going on out there. But yeah. If you already get it, then you can withdraw just as long as you're on the phone tonight and listening. I'm happy with that.
Yeah,
if you're happy,
I'm
happy.
And I will, and I do give it, you know, a good earful. And then I just, if it's too negative, because I know that everyone has their right to their view and they feel this way, but I just deeply do not feel this way about our future. I know that this country is blessed, and it
absolutely.
Is all for naught. And I don't care if it's the 11th hour, 59th minute, we do not give up. Where
well,
our forefathers
right.
have fought and died and shed their blood for, and that's my personal feeling. And if I had to do it, I'd do it. But because I would, it's despicable not to spit in the face of people that have put their lives on the line, and that's what it amounts to, by just laying back and taking it. And the person on the line, Vermil, he was saying, you know, when we get close to our neighbors, not that we have to be best friends, but know our neighbors, know our community, do things that the grassroots people can do together, because the people are, they're the ones. It's not the government. The people are the ones that will make the change, and we're the power.
That's right. You're absolutely right. And you know what? Some of the best advice that I ever heard was this. If you'll just love people the way that you should love them, the way that you love yourself, the way that you should love yourself, before long, you'll find out that you actually like them as well. Thank you very much, Suzanne. Thank you.
Compassion for each other, because no one's perfect. And so, but thank you so much, and I love all your different voices. It gives me a little variation.
But Phil Hendry's probably going to beat me up one of these days for doing that. I think he's better at it. But anyway, thank you very much, and have a safe and a happy Memorial weekend, all right? All right, let's see here. Roger in San Francisco. Let's go the other way. West
of
the Rockies.
I wonder if I could offer a solution to your favorite theological question, that is to say, what comes before zero?
Okay, hit me.
Alrighty, some divine arithmetic. Write it down. 0 + 0 = 0.
Yes.
That's a trinity of zeros, and that's all equal. Equals treat equals equally, and our children equal us.
Okay.
Okay, and it's the very first equality statement possible with arithmetic, with divine arithmetic, that you include zero, right?
Yes.
And equality statements are even, straight, just, justice. So the very first thing that arises from numbers, real numerology, is an equality statement, equality and justice, which is the foundation of all spirituality and all religion on the planet. Ever has, it always has been, always will be. So that is where zero comes into the game. You said you weren't liking so much Eastern spirituality because of their... or you weren't understanding it because of their use of zero frequently. And I think that might be the solution. What do you think?
I think this is a very interesting concept, starting with the fact that if you can identify something by a symbol or otherwise, then even though zero may represent nothing, nothing is not nothing. Nothing is actually something. Now, the 0+0+0, I'm going to look into this. Did you call it divine or divining arithmetic?
I'm calling it divining arithmetic because that's what it is.
Oh, gotcha.
I call it the equation, as in capital T, capital H, capital E. The circle and the sphere always have been metaphysically fertile, if you will, the most metaphysically fertile symbol ever. It's shared by all cultures. And if you think of the Golden Rule, this is actually just another statement of it. Because the Golden Rule is what? You do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Treat them as equals. Okay?
Okay. All right. That's very interesting. I'm going to look into that a little bit, and maybe at some future point. You know, that would be a very interesting program, I think, is to go into the more arcane aspects of these arithmetics. You know, maybe. All right, let's talk with, let's see here. Is John in St. Louis still on the wild card line? I hope he is.
Hey, John B.
How are you tonight?
I'm great, and you really, I've been listening to this program since somewhere around 92 when Art brought it on board for us.
Yes, so, Mr. Bell.
I happen to be a personal friend of George Noir here in St. Louis. And
excellent.
Welcome to the Coast family.
Well, thank you. What's on your mind tonight, my brother?
I just want to echo Suzanne's sentiments because we really do need to focus on the positive, and because we are spirit, you know, and we're made of flesh and spirit, and we, no matter what things look like in front of us, we have the ability to get beyond. And that's what your guest, and I didn't even get his name. What was his name?
The fellow was on tonight?
Yes, the Palmer.
Vernon Mahabel.
Okay.
Mahabel.
And his message is so, you know, so important because we are going to get through this. And we have a beautiful future, and we're going through a purification process. And you just bring us all to such a deep place and a pensive place, a soul-searching place. And everything, you have so many deep levels of understanding. And I really encouraged George. I told him to get, you know, to let you be the weekend guy. And I'm so glad you're here with us.
Well, thanks for that, my brother. Thank you for your very kind call, sir, and have a pleasant, a happy, and a above all safe Memorial Day weekend. Great to hear from you, Tom in Ohio. What's going on in Ohio, Tom?
It's dead on a doornail out here. It's an honor to talk to brilliance here for a change. We have so few of it left in this country. And I wanted to tell you about Friday the 13th. That's the anniversary. I forget the year that Jacques de Molay was executed.
Oh, yes.
The big guy in the Freemasonry. And watch out for your little children out there, your moms and dads out there, because demons love to possess little children. And I wanted to say that Thomas Jefferson made this statement. Oh, by the way, his parents died in a British concentration camp, so this is old. These camps are old. Old news. He said, "I tremble for my country when I know that God is a just God, and he will not hold his justice for long." I believe I came close to quoting that. And resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
Well, then I think we ought to just carry on with what we're doing. I'm telling you, I'm getting so many of the people, like yourself, so many people who have called tonight sound like, a regular bunch of superheroes. It's turning around. It's like once you go, no, this can't really be happening to our country. It's like, well, wait a minute, there is some stuff going on. Well, now, wait a minute, no, it's undeniable. There's something going on. Then they go, all of a sudden they go from very laid back and mellow to, all right, I'm spreading the word. I'm contacting my friends. I'm meeting on the porch. I'm meeting wherever the meeting can take place, at the coffee shop, in the parking lot, on the tailgate, on bike night, whatever. We're talking about it, and you know what?
Like a lion, you turn it loose, and it'll defend itself.
I'm telling you, I agree with Alex Jones. He says that look, these people know that this new world order, this global idea of theirs, is about to come crashing down. They're worried about it because they're not liking this awakening, and this awakening is just getting bigger. So, well, in the end, it's the thing is, bro. It's not to use that unfortunate expression. I'm sorry. It's just a holdover from when I used vernacular continuously.
But these people, they have got plans, and we're not included, and they have all these high-tech weapons and the bio weapons. There's supposed to be a flu headed our way that lasts 2 weeks. You can figure on a month and a half, so start taking your real vitamin C, and then the next one's going to be bigger than this one. I had the flu last year three times, and it spilled over into this year, the beginning of the year, and I found out it was a cocktail of swine flu and regular flu.
Oh, perfect. Well, but you overcame it, so that's the thing. Just because these things happen does not mean that we're going to succumb to it. No. And we're not going to put up with it either.
No.
So this is good. The bottom line is it's a happy ending.
Better pray, man.
Keep all the time.
With the Lord.
You do the same. May you be blessed, sir. And thank you very much for calling Coast to Coast tonight. This has been just all kinds of interesting and fun. All right, how about Charles in La Jolla, California? Charles on the wild card line, are you there?
John, such a pleasure to hear you on Friday night. And I also want to thank all of our past and present veterans for their service this Memorial
Day. Yes.
John, I wanted to make a quick recommendation for two possible people to interview.
Real quick, because we're almost out of time. You're our last caller tonight. Who are they? Quickly.
Okay. Naomi Klein. Author. Yeah, author of Shock Doctrine.
Yep.
And the second person would be Judy Wood, who's
Judy
a 911 researcher and also an expert on directed energy weapons.
Excellent. We will get in touch with them. Thank you for being a part of the program, everybody. Thank you very much, Tom. Charles. Well, I'm only halfway through the Zombie Jambi weekend. I'll see you tomorrow night with Nick Redfern. All things mystic, pyramids, UFOs, everything. It's a veritable cocktail of the paranormal. Until then and beyond, everybody, happy Memorial weekend. Be well and good night.